So the next thing we have in the Yom in terms of Hilchos Tefillah, and our lachas related to Tefillah and Rosh Chodesh. So it's coming up already in a couple of days from now. We spoke a little bit about it last year. We spoke about general issues related to Hallel and Tefillah, Yalvi Yavo. So then we just review a little bit of that and then go on a little bit more and elaborate a little bit upon some of the sugyas related to the unique aspects of Tefillah and Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara tells us in several places that the recitation of Hallel is a real chiyuv. One is obligated on certain days of the year to recite Hallel. The Gemara lists off the 18 days in Eretz Yisrael, an extra 3 days in terms of the Shadis and Chutz Laretz, but it's called Yirchaz Yomim Shagom Behemes Hallel. Those 18 days, which one is complete Hallel, it says the entire Hallel, is an absolute chiyuv, is a real din. It is a din in the Torah, din in the Rabbanan, sometimes some Medir, I say some Medir Rabbanan, different opinions about that, but it's for sure an obligation. In contrast to the days when one is obligated to recite Hallel, the Gemara speaks about other days where one only recites a Chatzi Hallel. So the Gemara singles out Rosh Chodesh as days when we only recite a Chatzi Hallel, and the last days of Pesach, going in Eretz Yisrael after the first day, Chutz Laretz after the first 2 days, when one only recites a Chatzi Hallel. So what is the nature of these dinim, that sometimes we recite a full Hallel, and sometimes we recite a Chatzi Hallel? So the Gemara says at least, vis-a-vis Rosh Chodesh, that the reason why we recite a Chatzi Hallel in Rosh Chodesh, because it's not a real chiyuv anyway. It's not an obligation to recite a Hallel in Rosh Chodesh. So since it's not a real din, so we want to make a demarcation between a real Hallel and a minig, a customary Hallel. So therefore, we want to recite a Chatzi Hallel. We're medaling in the middle of the Hallel. And minig is to be medaling no specific prokim, but meikra din, one can really be medaling any prokim. The universal custom is dafka, those parts of Hallel we delete, in order just to make it clear that this is not a real chiyuv, it's only b'teres minug. Does that mean that every time we say Chatzi Hallel, it's automatically called a minug? Is that statement true? So that's a machlekes that we showed him. So the Rambam writes that just as the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is only a minug, so to the Hallel of the last days of Pesach is also b'teres minug. The reason why the Gemara explains in Maseches Erechin why Hallel on Pesach is only Chatzi Hallel, which the Rabbam translates to mean only a minig after the first day, whereas on Sukkot each day is a chiyuv. So the Gemara explains, because on Sukkot each day is considered to be a separate yontif. A proof positive is the fact that the karbon has changed, since every day the parm go down, so the karbon of the third day chalabon is not the same as the second day, not the same as the first day, not the same as the Shana Rabbah. Each day is a separate Hallel, is a separate karbon. So just as each day is a separate karbon, so too each day is a separate Hallel as well. In contrast to Pesach, where it's the same carbon, Kacha Yasel Shivas Yom, Nachamol, you say the same carbonas. So too, once you said Hallel made the first day, or the Chutz starts the first 2 days, so you already ate it, there's no Chiyuv, there's no Din to say Hallel afterwards, and any subsequent Hallel is only B'teres Minig, is only B'teres Chatzi Hallel. This is the Sheet of Sarama. In fact, as an expression of this idea, that on Sukkot, each day of Chol HaMoed is considered to be a separate yontif, whereas on Pesach, it's just one long yontif. So there's a minig that we have, which also is an expression of this. And we just performed this minig on Shabbos Chol HaMoed last week. The Poskim write that when you have a Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkot, so when you get to the bracha of the Haftorah, so you do something very strange. You say, Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisroel V'Hazmanim. You throw in Sukkot into the bracha of the Haftorah, which is a very strange thing, because Chol HaMoed doesn't require Haftorah. So since Chol HaMoed doesn't get Haftorah, so then what are you mentioning the Indian of Chol HaMoed in the Haftorah? It's like when Shabbos falls out on Rosh Chodesh, so you don't mention Rosh Chodesh in the bracha. You only mention Rosh Chodesh in the Shemoneh Esrei, because Rosh Chodesh is Shayach to Shemoneh Esrei. But Rosh Chodesh has no connection at all to Haftorah, so therefore you leave it out. So l'chor, we should have left it out on Shabbos Chol HaMoed also. We should leave out the Chol HaMoed dimension in the bracha of Haftorah, which is in fact what we do on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Chol HaMoed Pesach, we talk, we do not mention Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Yisroel V'Hazman. We don't mention Yom HaChag HaMatzos. We just mention the fact that it's Shabbos. So my nishtan is all of a sudden Sukkos, we throw in for good luck the fact that it's Yisroel V'Hazmanim. So the post came right. The only reason why we do that, even though Chol HaMoed itself doesn't warrant the Haftorah, but since each day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos is considered to be a Yom Tif, it's almost like a separate Kiddush Hashayim. So it is appropriate to already mention it. You're already saying Haftar anyway, so you might as well throw in Mekadosh HaShabbos V'Hazmanim for good luck in Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So that's an expression of the same idea that the Gemara says. That's why you say Hallel Sholem on each day of Sukkos, whereas on Pesach, you don't say Hallel Sholem, you don't say Chatzi Hallel. So the Rambam understood that to mean that since it's only a Chatzi Hallel, so it's only B'teres Minig, it's only customary. And the Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, just because it's Chatzi Hallel doesn't mean that it's a Minig. On Rosh Chodesh it's a minute, but on Chol HaMoed Pesach it's a real din that the Takanas HaRchamim was to say a Chatzi Halal. Why would they be sachet to say a Chatzi Halal? Since each day is just a continuation of the last day, so they felt that it wasn't necessary to make a brand new Halal. They wanted to make a demarcation to show you that it's all considered to be one long Yontif. And I already said Halal, I already was Gomer's Halal earlier in the Yontif. So any subsequent Halal that I say is only Viteres Chatzi Halal. But in terms of being a Chiyav, it's a Chiyav, it's not a bit. You have an option to say it's not a customary Halal. It's a Tachonas of Chom of Halal, albeit a Chatzi Halal. So that's a technical machlekes to Rambam and the Ramban about whether the Chatzi Halal of the last days of Pesach, is that also Viteres Minig or is that Viteres Din? But everybody agrees that the halal of Rosh Chodesh is for sure b'taras minug, because the Gemara says that there are actually some places that didn't even say it. The Gemara tells the story that when Rav arrived in Bavel, so he saw that the people were saying halal, so he wanted to stop them. He said, "What are you saying halal for? It's only Rosh Chodesh. There's no chit to say halal." So then, when he saw that they were only saying chatzi halal, he said, "All right, good. Minug, I'm saying to be a day. They can continue to do it. It's only b'taras minug." So you see that in the days of the Gemara, it wasn't even a universal minug. Rav never even saw it. And now, later, it's become a universal minig, but it's only b'taras minig, and therefore it's only chatzi halal. Why in the world do we say it? What's the basis of this minig? If Levi, there's no real reason to say halal on Rosh Chodesh, so why should we adopt such a minig? Why did Klai Yisrael accept such a minig? Where is this minig? What's the minig based on? So the chor of the minig is based on the following, that the Gemara explains, both in Maseches Tainus and Maseches Erech, the two main sugars of halal, that there are really two distinct obligations to say halal. We say halal different times of the year for different reasons. Sometimes we say it because of Yom Tov. It's considered to be a moed. Whatever a moed is, a mechayev of halal. And sometimes we say halal b'toras neitz, when a miracle occurs, even though it's not b'toras moed. So that's what the Gemara explains. Let's say the halal of Shavuos is a halal of Yom Tov. The halal of Shmini Atzeres, no neitz and Shmini Atzeres. The halal of Shmini Atzeres is a halal of Yom Tov. The halal of Chanukah is not a Yom Tov, so the halal of Chanukah is a halal of neitz. So there are two different reasons, two different mechayev, two different obligations to recite halal different times of the year. On Rosh Chodesh, is neither a there's no nace on Rosh Chodesh, and it's not a Yom Tov either. So if it's not a Yom Tov and there's no nace, so then Taka two plus two plus four. So Taka, there's going to be no reason to say halal. There's no chayv of this and no chayv of that. So why do we say halal? The answer is that even though Rosh Chodesh is not really a moed, it's not a Yom Tov in the fullest sense of the word, it does have a certain dimension of Yom Tov to it. It is considered to be to some degree a moed. To what degree is a Rosh Chodesh a moed? So it's not a moed that carries with it an Issa Malacha. The Gemara says that just because something is called a moed, that's not enough. Rosh Chodesh is called a moed, but there's no Issa Malacha on moed, on Rosh Chodesh. But it is considered to be a moed. How do I know Rosh Chodesh is a moed? So the Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, in the 7th parak, that any korban, which is a korban tzibur, which is a kavua losman, any korban tzibur which has a set time to bring, has the ability to be doicha Shabbos. What are some examples of a korban tzibur that's kavua losman? A korban tumit, we bring a korban tumit every day, so it's kavua losman, so it's doicha Shabbos. The korban Muslim Shabbos itself obviously is doicha Shabbos. What about the korban of Yom Tov? Let's say you have a Yom Tov coincides with the Shabbos, so do you bring the special musafin on Shabbos also? So the Gemara says yes. What if you have a Rosh Chodesh that falls out on a Shabbos? So you bring the korban Muslim Shabbos? The Gemara says yes. Mishnah says yes. How do you know all this? So the Gemara says that the pasuk teaches you V'yasu b'nei so'osu Pesach b'mo'ado. It says the korban Pesach is always brought at its moed. It's always brought at its right time. At its right time, always has a connotation. It's got to be even b'shabbos. The show must go on. V'yasu b'nei so'osu Pesach b'mo'ado. You always bring ingin at its moed. And it says the word mo'ado by korban tamid also. It says Tzavus Bnei is coming up with Tishbalach and leave Moado. Moado afilu b'Shabbos. The Gemara says that the word Moado, Moed means a set time. That means you can't lose that time. It's got to take place. So Moed means that word Moado has the ability to be Deicha Shabbos, both for Korban Tumim and for Korban Pesach. Then the Gemara says that all the Yomim Tovim are also considered to be Moadim, as the Torah says, Eile Moadei Hashem Yikrei Kodesh, Hashem Tegros Samba Moadom. So it says Moed there also. So whenever it says the word Moed, Moed always tells me, Afilu B'Shabbos, Afilu B'Yad, no matter what, you always bring the Korbanos. The show must go on. So the Gemara says, what about Rosh Chodesh? Is Rosh Chodesh called the Moed? Not really. It's not really in the Pashas Moedos. So Gemara says, no, it's also called the Moed. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Megillas Eicha, Kara Alai Moed Lishbo Bachorai. The pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside a time to basically to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? Karolai Moi, what does that do with Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara explains that year, so Tisha B'Av really shouldn't have been on the 9th of Av. I mean, the events of the Meraglim shouldn't have really happened on the 9th of Av. If you make the calculation from how many days the pasuk describes that they left Har Sinai the 20th day of Iyar, and then it makes a cheshbon as to how many days they waited for Miriam, it comes out that the Chet of Meraglim wasn't really on the 9th of Av, it was a day off. So why do we always describe it as being on the 9th of Av? So the Gemara says we have a tradition that year they were Ma'av in the month of Tammuz. Normally Tammuz has only 29 days. The way our calendar is set up, Tammuz is always 29 days. And even in the olden days, Tammuz was usually only 29 days. But that year they were Ma'av in Tammuz. For whatever reason, the way it came out with the moon, so they were Ma'av in the month of Tammuz. And because they were Ma'av in the month of Tammuz, it came out that the events of the miracle of Taka fell out on the 9th of Av, rather than theoretically would have been on the 10th of Av. They wouldn't have been Ma'av in the Chodesh. So the Gemara says that's what the pasuk means. That's what Yirmiyahu was being miramish to. When the pasuk kara alay moed lishma b'chorai, the Kadosh Baruch Hu set it up in such a way that Rosh Chodesh fell out at such a time that the Kadosh Baruch Hu had set in his calendar in Shemayim that the Meraglim have to come back on the 9th of Av. That was a gzeir red l'dayrus. It's got to be the 9th of Av. So kara alay moed, Rosh Chodesh was in a sense tampered with. That Rosh Chodesh really shouldn't have been then, but it turns out that particular year they made an extra day of the month of Tammuz. You're always allowed to make an extra day. Whatever the Beis Din feels they want to make, they can. That's the din of Kiddush HaChodesh. So that year it was a little bit out of the ordinary. They made an extra day for the month of Tammuz, and it came out that Tufi HaChashmin, that Tishbav was Tishbav. So the Gemara says, Karolai Moed is referring to Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says that's Vam Shatim in HaTorah, that Rosh Chodesh is called a Moed. The Gemara is quoting a pasuk to teach you this is a mocha for Din Derai, so that the Kovin of Rosh Chodesh can be Deich Shabbos. That's a real din. That's not a fake. That's a real halacha. Karolai Moed. That's why the simple meaning of the Gemara is that pasuk in Megillas Eichav Moed is not referring to the Tisha B'Av itself. Karolai Moed means Kadosh Baruch Hu set up Rosh Chodesh so that Tisha B'Av should happen. Not that Tisha B'Av is called the Moed. The Rosh Chodesh Av is called the Moed. So that seems not to fit with the Minig Yisrael that we have, the Rishon Kodesh Minig, that we treat Tisha B'Av like a Moed. That's why we have a Minig, not to say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. We don't make, we don't do all kind of things on Tisha B'Av. We don't say Lam Netzeach, we don't say Fid Malkeinim, a couple of Minhagim that we have on Tisha B'Av, which are Yom Tov Tikkun Minhagim, it's a modern thing. Rishon is right, because Karolai Moed Lishma B'Chor, it's called the Shtikal Yom Tov. And that's not what the Gemara says Moed is referring to. The Gemara says the Moed is referring to Rosh Chodesh. So obviously these Rishonim must have held that this was a drasha that it refers to Rosh Chodesh. The real thing it refers to is not Tisha B'Av. The Pshuta Shel Mikra is that Tisha B'Av itself is called the Moed, and Moed has a positive connotation to it, so therefore we shouldn't say Tachan, we shouldn't say Lam Netzeach, etc. on Tisha B'Av. It's a very strange thing because the word Moed, even if it's referring to Tisha B'Av, Moed just means a set time. It doesn't mean anything good necessarily. 99% of the time, Moed means a nice, happy, Chol Moed means Moadim Simcha Chavos Ma'am Musasar. So Tisha B'Av, it's a chiddush to say that the word Moed refers to Tisha B'Av. It's a chiddush to say that it means in a positive sense. But that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Rishon Tzitzvitik. I once heard a tape from the Rav on one of his kinnis shiurim on Tisha B'Av that he quoted from his father, from Moshe Soloveitchik, that his entire life he never understood this Minhag Yisrael. He said he sees it in the Rishonim, he sees it in the Shulchan Aruch, he has no idea what it means that Tisha B'Av is considered to be a Moed. Everyone starts to pilp, give you stories because Mashiach is born, and then he says, I don't know what they're talking about. He says he doesn't understand what that means that Tisha B'Av is considered to be a Moed. I don't think he said Tachan and Tisha B'Av either. He's just Moed, really. He doesn't understand what the Minhag is. Whatever it is. Anyway, getting back to the story. So Rosh Chodesh is for sure called the Moed. And there are definitely yontif aspects to Rosh Chodesh. According to the Rambam, there's an isatainis min haTorah in Rosh Chodesh, because in the pasuk of Chatzotzros, the Torah says that you blow the silver trumpets of Yom Simchaschem of Moadechem of Rosh Chodeshem. So the Torah lumps together the Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh and Yom Simchaschem vis-a-vis the mitzvah of Tekiyas Chatzotzros. So the Rambam learns that the Torah is comparing Rosh Chodesh to a Moed in the sense that just as you're not allowed to fast on Yom Tov, you're not permitted to fast on Rosh Chodesh either. Not everyone. Many people disagree with that Rambam. Many say that the issue of Tanis Rosh Chodesh will be a Derabbanan, maybe not even a Derabbanan, whatever it is. But at least according to the Rambam, there is some dimension even of a quasi Simcha Rosh Chodesh. So you see the Rosh Chodesh has a pretty high standard. It's not a regular weekday. there is some aspect of Yom Tov to Rosh Chodesh, but the Gemara says it still falls short in terms of saying Hallel. In order to say Hallel, it's not enough that it be called a Moed. It has to be a Moed with an Issa Malacha. The Gemara says that a Shabbos is an Issa Malacha without being called a Moed. Shabbos is not called a Moed. Shabbos is an Issa Malacha without a Moed, and Rosh Chodesh is a Moed without an Issa Malacha. So therefore, just as you don't say Hallel on Shabbos, you don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, it's lacking that critical dimension of an Issa Malacha. But Alpha Bichain, even though Medina you don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, but Petaris Minig we do. But why? It's lacking the Issa Malacha. So maybe the answer is that it's true practically, Bizman Azeh, it is missing the Issa Malacha, but there is a certain degree of an Issa Malacha even on Rosh Chodesh. There's a certain dimension of a prohibition of Malacha even on Rosh Chodesh. What prohibition is there for Rosh Chodesh? So two parts. First of all, there's a minhag that appears in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, works in the Tanoim from the days of from Rabbi Eliezer Agadol, that says that women have a custom that they shouldn't do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Why is that? So women who are much less excited about doing the Chet HaEgel than the men were, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the women a special matan, a special gift of to celebrate Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh, they should celebrate a special yontov given to them, and they shouldn't do malacha. So there's a minhag that appears already back in the days of the Tanoim. It's not practiced so much with Manazel. I don't think most women follow this minhag today. It's not an absolute chiyuv, but this was an old minhag. So maybe since there's a little bit of an issa malacha to it, so that's enough kind of to hike it up a little bit to b'teres minhag to say that it's quasi yomtiv. Again, b'ikra din, you don't say halal Rosh Chodesh altogether. Even a chatzi halal is not an obligation, but it's b'teres minhag. And the question is, does the minhag make any sense? And the Gemara says that it has to be a mayid with an issa malacha. There has to be some kind of an issa malacha to it in order to be tofes. There should be a minhag of saying halal Rosh Chodesh. So maybe that's the reason why. It's hard to understand that. That's for the women, what does it have to do with me? The Gemara says, there's no minhag for the men not to do malacha. So maybe it's based on something a little bit different. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah that when listing off the days of the year that we lain, how many aliyahs we lain? So this was one of the questions. This was the grand prize question in the Torah Bowl. In our Torah, we had a big Torah Bowl on the last week, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, for all the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade boys. So it came down to the wire. This was the last, it was team effort. So you had a lot of different parts of these questions. So the final winning question was to name all the days, every single one, all the days of the year that we laid. I'm going to list off every single possible time that we laid. So we finally, some kid remembered that we have Chris Dorn Purim also. So that was the last hinge we were waiting for. So when the Gemara Maseches Megillah lists off all the days in here that we lay, so then it lists off how many aliyahs we get every day. So each day depends on different factors. So a regular Monday, Thursday, Shabbos, Mincha, so we're going to lay, of course, 3 aliyahs. Then we hike it up a little bit on Rosh Chodesh, and then it hikes up a little bit more on Yom Tov, Yom Kippur, Shabbos, etc. So the Gemara explains that why is it that on Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed we feel free to add on a fourth aliyah? Why are we okay with that? So Gemara, we don't do that, let's say, on the Tainus Tibor. We don't do that on Chanukah when we have 3 aliyahs. On Purim, we have 3 aliyahs. So Gemara says that on a regular work day, we don't want to give too many aliyahs because people have to go to work. People are looking at their watch to run out of shul. So we don't want to make an extra fourth aliyah on Chanukah. People go to work on Chanukah. People be good, then you're allowed to go to work on Purim also. You don't get a simon bracha, but get lemaisa. Some people go to work on Purim. Or on a regular Monday, Thursday, people go to work. The Tainus Tibor, people go to work. So you only have 3 aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, the Gemara says, no one's going to work. So Rosh Chodesh, Chol HaMoed, most people aren't working anyway, so therefore we have a right to add on a fourth aliyah. So the Rishonim on the spot asked, Chol HaMoed, I understand. Assuming no one's going to work Chol HaMoed. So that at least I understand, because certain malachas, you're not allowed to work Chol HaMoed. Rosh Chodesh, taking off Rosh Chodesh. So it's a new minhag, a new chumrah, you're not allowed to work in Rosh Chodesh. So the Rishonim have a lot of problems with this Gemara. How could the Gemara say that we add on a fourth aliyah in Rosh Chodesh and it doesn't bother us? We have no qualms adding on the fourth aliyah because no one's going to work anyway. There's no bitul malacha. So both Rashi and Tosfos have a very, very interesting pshat in the Gemara. Rashi and Tosfos write that, well, since the women aren't going to work, because the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says the minhag is that women don't do malacha, so therefore we have the free time. We can add on a fourth aliyah, and there's no bitul malacha. So the Shagas Ayah asks on that pshat, he says, but the women aren't the ones who are in shul leining, so what does that have to do with us? I'm going to work, so the fact my wife's taking off, how does that affect me? So Shagas Ayah doesn't like that pshat. So I thought that the way to be Yashi, Rashi, and Taisus, if you drive carpool in the morning, then you know the answer to that question. So I said that I know from my own experience, the days that every once in a while, if I know that my wife is not going to work that morning, so I know I can dray around and shul a few extra minutes. Usually after I daven in B'nai Shur at 7 o'clock minyan most of the days, so people start asking me questions after davening's over. So sometimes there could be a 10-minute break till I finish davening, till I get out the door. So I know on a day of crunch when my wife has to get to work, I got to get to work, the kids got to get to school, so I always try to answer those questions a little bit quicker. But on a day when I know for whatever reason my wife is also, she's off that day, so then if it's a legal holiday or something, so then we have plenty, more time. Because she'll have more time, she'll be more Mishavis in the morning, she'll be able to get the kids ready faster, she'll get the kids from breakfast, she'll get everything settled up, enough to rush home. So I think that's what Rashi and Tosfos meant also, that on a regular Monday and Thursday, the women, they're running to the barn, they're going milking the cows, they're going to do whatever they're doing, so the men can't have no right to dray around and chill extra 10 minutes, they better get home right away to help the wives. If the wives are not doing anything anyway all day, so what's the big deal? So if the wives are more relaxed, the husbands are relaxed also. So it's not such a bad pshat, Rashi and Tosfos pshat. But the Shagasaya doesn't like that pshat. Shagasaya says, he thinks the emes of pshat in the Gemara is like this, that there is a nisim malacha on Rish Chodesh. Right? But we know it's not true. We know you're allowed to work on Rish Chodesh. So the Shagasaya says that bizman hamikdash, there was a nisim malacha on Rish Chodesh. Why? Because there was a korban musaf that was brought. Whenever you bring a korban, so you're not allowed to do malacha that day. If I bring a personal korban on Sunday morning, I'm not allowed to do malacha min haTorah that entire day. It's a yom simcha, it's a special isim malacha for me. So the Gemara in Yerushalmi asks the question, if so, so how can anybody ever go to work? Because we all bring a korban every day. We all paid a machzah shekel money. We all took part of the korban tamid. So whenever there's a korban tamid brought for Klal Yisrael, there should be an issa malacha in all of Klal Yisrael. That's the havim. That's the kash of the Gemara. The Gemara answers. The Gemara says, no, it's okay. You know why? The Torah says you're allowed to go to work. The Torah says you're allowed to collect your grain. The Torah says you're allowed to harvest your grain. You can't issa malacha. So it must be the Torah says that's mutter anyway. In theory, in Lomdus, it should have been also to go to work every day because of the Korban Tamid. Kamash Blon Apostle, the Torah is mutter to go to work. So the Shagasari says, yeah, the Torah was mutter to go to work every day, but it wasn't mutter to go to work on the days of Rosh Chodesh. But the other is Sakosov. So Rosh Chodesh, the Korban Tamid doesn't create a Nisim Malacha, but the Korban Musaf does. So whenever there's a Korban Tzibah brought on behalf of Klal Yisrael, you're not allowed to go to work. The Korban Tamid is the exception to the rule. Gzeir Sakosov is Satta Kenech Ksiv. But any other day, there's Taka Nisim Diraisiv Malacha. So that was true Bizman HaMikdash. It's not true today. So says the Shagasai, yeah, you're right. That Bizman HaMikdash, there was an Nisim Malacha Midaraisa. Bizman HaZeh, there's no Nisim Malacha. But the Aliyahs were instituted in the days of Ezra. They decided how many Aliyahs. That was Bizman HaMikdash. So once Ezra made the Takana for Aliyahs and Rish Chodesh, that stuck with us. We're not going to chop away at the Aliyahs now. So we still, Minigav HaSeh to be Adena, we still laying four Aliyahs in Rish Chodesh. Was Zeich at a time when we didn't go to work. So this idea that Rish Chodesh, there is a quasi Issa Malacha, it's not the same, it's not a Yom Tov Tikkun Issa, it's not a Shabbos Tikkun Issa, it's not a real Issa Malacha, it's not even a Chol HaMoed Tikkun Issa, but there's some degree of an Issa Malacha on Rish Chodesh, either for the women or even for the men, maybe Bizman Shabbos Mikdash HaKayim. But the truth is, you see, throughout Pesukim in Nach, it's obvious that Rish Chodesh was not a Mikdash, was different than it is Bizman HaZeh. There was definitely more of a celebration than we have Bizman HaZeh, Haraya. The whole story of David and Yonasan and Shaul, they're sitting and having parties, they're having sudas, they're having a whole Yonasan Macha Chodesh, it's a whole tataram, whole celebration. And the Psukim describe Chodeshem and Wadechem Son of Nafshi in a bad sense, and then V'hoi B'dei Chodesh B'chodesh B'dei Shabbos B'Shabbato Lo Chodesh Lo Shabbos. The Psukim throughout Navi always link together Rish Chodesh and Yom Tov and Shabbos, it's all in the same breath almost. Rish Chodesh, what's Rish Chodesh to us? It's a Tuesday morning, we the only thing Rish Chodesh means to us, we start davening 15 minutes earlier. What's the big deal with Rish Chodesh? We say, what's the big deal? So Bizman HaMikdash, it was much more. Bizman HaMikdash, it was a special celebration, because they brought special karbanos. So it wasn't just a celebration of the basic Mikdash. Everybody celebrated on a higher level. And when they accept the Shagasai, you reject the Shagasai, but there was definitely more to Rish Chodesh, Bizman HaMikdash, than there is Bizman HaZeh. So maybe that's the reason why there's a minik to say halal Rish Chodesh. So even though it's not a real moed, there's no realism malacha deraisa bizman hazeh. It's not the real makoy, but afal bichet, since there's a shaychus to a hilchus yom tov, it's a quasi, it's a mini yom tov. So therefore we celebrate it and we throw in a halal as well, just to make sure that it's not mistaken to being a halal shalom. So we say a chatzi halal.
What does it mean that we say a chatzi halal?
So the din is you have to skip some of the psukim just to make it clear that it's not a halal shalom. Which psukim do you have to skip? So the Rambam writes whichever ones you want. So we have a minig. Universal minig is you skip those two parts that we skip on Rosh Chodesh. But Be'ikra, then you could skip any part. So it's based on that, that there's a very difficult line in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh quotes that if you say halal out of order, so it wouldn't be, I'd say, the midst of halal, or the minig halal, whatever you want to call it. Let's say, Lamash, we learned this by Kriyashma. You say Kriyashma, Shalom, I say there, so you're not Yaitzis. Instead of starting with Shema Yisrael, the guy starts with Vyahafta. So he says Vyahafta, then after he says Vyahafta, then he goes back and says Shema Yisrael, then he says Uchsaftam, then he says Uchartam. He said every word, but he said Ishalok say there. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, you're not Yaitzis, because it says Vahayodvarma, it's got to be a Kasidra, and you have to say the Pesukum Shema in the correct order. Whether you could say the Parshas out of order, it's a different story, but the Pesukum, everything has to be said in the correct order. So that din, that you have to say Kriya Shema, Keseda, the Gemara has the exact same din when it comes to Hallel, that if you start pachking around with Hallel, you say Lolona first, then you say B'tes Yisrael, then you say Moshev, then you go in your own unique order of Hallel, so you wouldn't be Yaitzin. The Gemara says, it says in the Pasuk, Mizrach Shemesh Anvavom Mulo Shem Hashem, that you have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the sun rises. The sun rises in the east and sets in the west. It means the sun goes in order. The sun doesn't jump around. One day the sun's going to rise in the west, one day it's going to rise in the east, one day it's going to go halfway, then go back. The sun doesn't go backwards, the sun goes forwards. So, Mizrach Shemesh Anvavom Mulo Shem Hashem. You have to say the Halal Shem Hashem Keseder as well. So therefore the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you say Halal and Rish Chodesh, Halal Keseder, so you wouldn't be, I'd say. So the Mishnah Berurah has a big problem with that din in the Shulchan Aruch. I understand on Halal of Yom Tov, Halal of Chanukah, which is a real din to say Halal. So I understand if you said Halal Shalom to say there, so I understand you're not Yaitzeh. But Halal and Rish Chodesh, so what do you mean you said it Shalom to say there? So whatever Psukim was said Shalom to say there, it's even you didn't say those Psukim. So you were still Yaitzeh. So let's say in the middle, a guy says, he starts out with Halal, Luka Halal Avdei Hashem, and then he skips B'tzeis Sobe Mitzrayim. So he's still Yaitzeh Halal. You don't have to skip after those Prokim. So if the guy starts out by saying B'tzeis Yisrael, then he says Haluka, so Dal Mehoch the B'tzeis Yisrael. Make believe he didn't say B'tzeis Yisrael. If he didn't say it, you didn't say it. But you're still Yaitzeh, because you don't have to say the full Halal anyway. So the whole idea of saying that you're not Yaitzeh, Shalom say that makes sense by Kriyashma, by Kriyashma, Megillah, by Halal and Yom Tif, we have to say every single word. Halal Mishchadosh, anyway, you don't have to say every word. What do you mean you're not Yaitzeh, Shalom say that? So the Be'alocha says maybe what the Shulchan Aruch means is as follows. That means you said it Shalom say there, means you said the first pasuk Shalom say there. Means you started out with Chreis B'tzeis Yisrael and you skipped the first pasuk. So says the Mishnah Berurah, Halal and Rosh Chodesh, you have to be medaleg. Medaleg means you basically said Halal, but you skipped a little bit in the middle. Skipping a little bit in the middle means that you have the beginning and you have the end and you have a dilug in the middle. But if you miss the beginning, that's not called a dilug. That's called you didn't get into the batter's box yet. So if you're running around the bases and you skip third base, that's called I skip third base. But if you didn't start at home plate, you didn't skip home plate. You didn't get up to bat for. That's not the Mishnah Berurah's marshal. So he says that if you miss the first passing, that's mamash garnish, and that's a zero. It's like Moshe Ma David Omer. The Ramah has the same idea by Kriyas Megillah that if you miss a pasuk in the middle of Kriyas Megillah, miss a couple of words here and there in the middle of the Megillah, so you could just say it quickly about Alped, you could catch up. So let's say if you have a Megillas Esther that's missing a couple of words in the middle, not the end of the world. What if it's missing the first pasuk? It's missing by Hebrew Achashverosh, it starts by Yom Mahev. So then there are more quotes that maybe that's not good. That's not called missing a pasuk in the middle. That's called you didn't start the Megillah, you just left the right foot. So that's a similar idea that Mishnah Berurah quotes in Uchas Halal. But in Liyatsuyu, you just stop in the middle of Halal and you skipped around the pasuk here and there. So he says, so make believe you didn't say it all together. You'd still be, I'd say. This minig that we have of saying Halal and Rish Chodesh, so who has this minig? So the minig is that women say Halal also in Rish Chodesh. Even though normally women are not chayavos in Halal, Halal is a mitzvah seishes bagrama. So Halal and Yom Tov for sure women are pturus from. Halal and Chanukah women are also pturus from. We don't understand why chora women should be chayavos in Halal and Chanukah like the chayavos in Neiros Chanukah. But lemaisa that's what the Rambam writes. That's how we pass in Malacha. Even though we're not sure exactly why women are pturus. The only Halal that women are chayavos in is Halal by the Seder, because Halal by the Seder was instituted as part of Dalakosis, and women the Gemara says are chayavos in Dalakosis. So they only have to say halal as well. Otherwise, you can have dalakosis without the halal. That's going to be a lack of the proper seder of dalakosis.
But the halal of Yom Tov, the halal of Hanukkah, women are pterus from. That's the reason why the Mishnah says in Masechet Sukkah that a woman cannot be mitzi a man in halal. Let's say you have a man doesn't know how to say halal. So the Mishnah says that if somebody who's chayiv in halal wants to say a halal for him, so that's okay. Shemeka Oina. That's the original Sukkah of Shemeka Oina is in Sukkah of Lamechas and the Sukkah of Halal. So the Mishnah just puts the brakes on. It says that only someone who's chayiv in halal can be mitzi in halal. Let's say my child under bar mitzvah wants to say halal to be mitzi me. So the Mishnah says that's no good. What if he's the only one around? I don't know how to say it. So then the Mishnah says you have to be Oina Acharav. He'll say Haluka. He says Betzeis. I say Betzeis. He says Yisrael. I say Ramish word for word with him. Then he's not being mitzi me. Then he's just teaching me how to say it. But if he's over bar mitzvah, then he can say it and I can just answer Haluka at each part. And I'm Yotze based. Haluka is like answering Amen. So I'm Yotze like based on Shemekah. And even if I don't answer anything, I'm Yotze Shemekah. So the Mishnah says that if my wife wants to say the halal for me, I can't be Yotze with her. Because she's Ptura, as the Tosfos points out, you see from this mission that women are Ptura from halal, because if she would have been Chayavas, then she could have been Motzi Mimikra than halal. So a woman for sure can't be Motzi a man in halal. So the Be'er Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah in Be'er Halacha raises the question, what's the din of halal in Rish Chodesh? Can a woman be Motzi a man in halal in Rish Chodesh? So the Mishnah Berurah says that maybe yes. He says, maybe there's nothing wrong with a woman being motzi a man in halal in Rish Chodesh. Why? He says that when you have a halal, that's a chiyuv, so a man is mechuyuv to say the halal, and most women say halal on Yonder. Most women say halal on Chanukah. But that's only b'teres minig. It's not a teres chiv. Not a teres mitzvah. It's not the rice. It's not the rabbanu. Women are not chayavas. So a woman who's only saying it is a customary halal, how can her customary halal be motzi my obligatory halal? But she ain't kain. Halal and Rish Chodesh, I'm not obligated either. It's only a minig for me also. So it's the same minig for me as a minig for my wife. So maybe it's okay for my wife to be motzi me because it's only b'teres minig anyway. So it's quite a chiddush. Unless one wants to argue like a fancy word that a woman's minog in halal is like a tray to rabbanon. Taisus quotes a day that says that let's say you have a mitzvah to rabbanon. So a katan, Taisus writes in one day that a katan can't be motzi a gadol in a mitzvah to rabbanon. Why? The gadol is also only chayav to rabbanon. The katan is also chayav in chinuch to rabbanon. So Taisus writes now, the katan's obligation is a double to rabbanon. He's chayav in kriyas ha-megillah to rabbanon and Kriyas HaMegillah itself is Derabbanan. Whereas a Gadol is Chayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah with Derabbanan, but a Gadol's Chayiv in Mitzvahs in general is a Deraisa. So that would be a violation of a double Derabbanan, be Moti Echad Derabbanan. So maybe you can borrow that over to Minhagim a little bit. It's a very strange application. That my minug, so to speak, to say Halal Rish Chodesh is a one minug. A man has a minug to say Halal Rish Chodesh. A woman has a lower level minug. It means the halal Rish Chodesh is a minhag, and her obligation, quote unquote, any halal is on a b'teres minhag. So she's like a double minhag against a single minhag. We just mamish made up a new term in halacha, but I've never heard of such a thing. So I don't make maybe. So the Mishmu is not 100% sure. He thinks that a woman could probably say halal on behalf of a man Rish Chodesh. I'm not 100% sure that should fly. The main topic that the Rishonim discuss about the halal and Rish Chodesh, it's a sort of b'teres minhag, is whether one recites a bracha on this halal or not. So the many Rishonim were of the opinion, the Rambam included, that one does not recite a halal, no, one does not recite a bracha on halal and Rish Chodesh. Why? It's only b'teres minhag. How do you know you don't make a bracha minhagim? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in the end of Masechet Sukkah. The Gemara is a machlokes whether the banging of Hoshanas and Hoshana Rabbah is a minhag or it's a din. It's not a deraisa, either it's a mitzvah with the rabbanon that was instituted in the days of the Nevi'im, or it's a minig that the Nevi'im instituted. So the Gemara says, my nafkamina, whether it's a minig or whether it's a mitzvah. So the Gemara says, nafkamina, whether you make a bracha. So if you hold it's a mitzvah de rabbanon, it's like Neris Chanuk, it's like Chris Megillah, until Siddai, like Erev Tav Shilin, a real mitzvah de rabbanon, so then you would make a bracha on it. I'll chavatz avraham, whatever bracha we'd make. If it's only b'teres minig, then you don't make a bracha. So we pass, the Gemara says, chavot, chavot, v'lebarich, we pass that you don't make a bracha. So that's what that minig is, that we don't recite a bracha on banging our rubbers, because we assume it's a minig. It's an old minig. It goes back to the days of the Nevi'im. Chag is a chemalach. It's 2,500-year old minig, but it's only b'teres minig. It's not b'teres chiv. It's not like Chris Amigil. It's not like a Neres Chanukah. It's a lower level in Allah. It's only b'teres minig. Therefore, it doesn't warrant a bracha. So the Rambam writes that you see from this Gemara that no minhagim require brachas. Since the halal of Rish Chodesh, or the Rambam Sheet is the halal of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and the last day of Pesach is only b'teres minhag, so the Rambam says the Takano Bracha recited it all. It's the same as Arava. And Rabbi Natan disagrees with it. The Rambam says, no, that not all minhagim are created equal. That some minhagim do require a bracha, and other minhagim don't require a bracha. So the minhag of Arava is a low level minhag, and the minhag of Chris Hala is a high level minhag. The multi-million-dollar question is, according to Rabbi Natan, how would you ever know which is which? How do you know some of them yes, some of them no? It's very unclear from Rabbi Natan which yes and which not. So the Brisker Rav explains, he thinks Rabbi Natan is driving at as follows, that there are some actions that we do that the chlal not nitfas on them is shei mitzvah, banging our rovers. Banging our rovers is nishkin mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah deraisa, it's a mitzvah derabanan. There's no such entity in the realm of the world of mitzvah called banging our rover. So you don't make a brach on that. Kriyas HaHalel is a mitzvah. There's a concept called Kriyas HaHalel. It happens to be that on Rosh Chodesh it's only b'toras minig. But there's an entity called Kriyas HaHalel. Kriyas HaHalel on Yom Tov is a real din, and Kriyas HaHalel on Chanukah is a real din. So the fact that we're doing it right now, in this particular place and time and place, we're only doing it b'toras minig. But it's called the Chavtza Shel Mitzvah. So the Brisker Rav says that's the guiding principle according to Rabbi Natan. That to make a bracha on a minug, if the minug is an entity of mitzvah, it's a maisa shel mitzvah, it's just right now it's not a b'toras minug, that you can make a bracha on. But something which is itself not mitzvah, so it's not a shame mitzvah b'chlal, it's never a mitzvah, then you don't require a bracha. So it's based on that Brisker Rav, so we can jump ahead to the next, next Yom Tov on the list. So that's probably the explanation according to this Brisker Rav, why we have this strange minug, we make a bracha on Neiris Chanukah and Shul. So the Rishonim point out that you're not Yaitse, they call from a Rivash, you're not Yaitse Neiris Chanukah and Shul, because you don't live there, unless the Shul's in your house. But if you light Neiris Chanukah in a regular Shul, no one's living there. So nobody's Yaitse anyway, so how can we make a bracha? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, we could defend the making of a bracha. Why? Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, whenever you have a minhag that's sometimes a mitzvah, you can make a bracha on that. So the lighting Neiris Chanukah in Shul, true, no one's yaitze now because it's not a beis dira, it's not a makom, it's not an area shabesai, but the maisa of lighting a candle, lighting a menorah, is called the maisa shel mitzvah. Right here and right now, it happens not to be a mitzvah, but if the menorah would be in my house, it would be a mitzvah. So that's a type of mitzvah that perhaps one could sanction, a type of minhag, one could sanction making a bracha. What about according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch? The Shulchan Aruch also quotes the meaning of the Rivash to recite a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch and Uchas Rish Chodesh writes that you don't recite a bracha on Hallel, yet the Shulchan Aruch does write that you make a bracha on the lighting of a menorah and shul. So the Shulchan Aruch sells himself. So maybe the Shulchan Aruch holds like this, that when the Rambam Shita is, also like the Brisker Rav, the Rav also buys into this idea. Whenever there's a Chavtza Shel mitzvah, just right now, it's not a mitzvah, you can still make a bracha. So why does the Rambam say you can't make a bracha in Chatzi Hallel? The Rambam holds that there's no such thing called Chatzi Hallel. Chatzi Hallel is never a mitzvah. The mitzvah is Hallel Shalom. There's no such entity ever there is mitzvah called Chatzi Hallel. The Rambam Lishitaso says that even a Cholamot Pesach, it's only a minhag to say Hallel. There's only one entity, one Chavtza of Hallel, that's a Hallel Shalom. Anytime you're not saying Hallel Shalom, you can't call that a mitzvah. It's only a minhag, and it's a type of minhag that doesn't exist anywhere but there is mitzvah, therefore can't get a bracha. But halachas, there is Chanukah and Shul, that's a Maisa Shal Mitzvah. It just happens to be it's in a shul, not in a house. So maybe even the Rambam buys into the Shulchan Aruch. So buys into Rabbeinu Tam. So it could be that the Kudus of Machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, Halal and Rish Chodesh, whether you make a bracha, everybody agrees Halal and Rish Chodesh is a minhag. Everyone agrees a minhag that's it's called a mitzvah sometime warrants a bracha. The machlekes is, it's Hallel Shalom and Chatzi Hallel fundamentally two different things. That's what the Rambam says. Or it's really the same thing. It's the same Hallel. Missing a pasuk, with a pasuk, without a pasuk. It's fundamentally a shame Hallel, albeit a different amount. It's a quantitative difference. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, Hallel Shalom and Chatzi Hallel are quantitatively different from one another, but they're not qualitatively different. According to the Rambam, they're qualitatively different. Hallel Shalom is one thing. Chatzi Hallel is a different story. Chatzi Hallel is saying pesukim. Hallel Shalom is a chavtza, is an entity of Hallel. So therefore, since there's no such entity called Chatzi Hallel but there's mitzvah, it wouldn't warrant reciting a bracha on according to the Rambam. Okay. So we'll stop for now. So now we have to take our official vote. We'll try to give out